Welcome to the Tabernacle of David Restored. Please enjoy this teaching by Jaco van der Merwe. I hope that you enjoy this teaching.
Let's begin with lesson 8 of our study. Jeremiah study, History of the Kings, part 1, lesson 8, 2 Kings chapter 21 and 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Presented by Jaco van der Merwe, the Tabernacle of David Restored in Edom. Matthew 23, verse 8 to 10. But you must not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, Christ, and you are all brothers. And call no one your father on the earth, for one is your father in heaven, nor be called teachers, for one is your teacher, even Christ. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 to 17. But evil men and seducers go forward to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a babe you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected throughout furnished to every good work. Colossians 2, verse 8 to 12. Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith in the working of God, raising him from the dead. Let's read Isaiah 28 from verse 9 to 13 again before we begin. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be on precept, and precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they were not willing to hear, but the word of Jehovah was to them a precept on precept, and a precept on precept, line on line, and line on line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. King Hezekiah, a quick summation. The previous two lessons we discussed King Hezekiah. He was 25 years old when he became king in Jerusalem and reigned for 29 years. He became king during the third year that Hosea became king in Ephraim. King Hezekiah received a kingdom that was devastated by enemy attack. His father, King Ahaz, did not worship Yahweh and promoted Baal worship and walked like King Omri and Ahab did, who were the kings in Ephraim many years before this time. King Ahaz was guilty of child sacrifice. Isaiah was sent to King Ahaz by Yahweh to give him a chance on repentance, and he was told that it was for the sake of King David that Yahweh would spare his throne. But King Ahaz rather chose to serve the gods of the Syrians, and he desecrated the temple of Yahweh with idol worship. When Hezekiah became king, the first thing he did on the first day that he became king was to restore the temple back to Yahweh's set out Aaronic priesthood and sacrificial system. This happened in the first month, in the first day of the month, which would have been on the biblical feast calendar. It took the Levites and the priests 16 days to prepare everything, but they did not have sufficient time to cleanse themselves ceremonially so that they could do the Passover of that year in the first month. Hezekiah had the priest of Yahweh do atonement for all Israel and not just for Judah, as the Torah commands. Yahweh's people are 12 tribes and not just the tribe of Judah. And after the ceremony, Hezekiah spoke to the priests and the elders, and they decided to hold the Passover in the second month, as it was written in the Torah to do. Hezekiah sent out messengers to the tribes in Israel, inviting them all to do the feast as a repentance to Yahweh. In the book of the prophet Hosea, which forms Yahweh's commentary on the happenings during the time of King Hezekiah and King Hosea, we read that the children of Israel did not know Yahweh. So, many people made fun of the message to return to Yahweh and do the Passover. But there were many people of Israel and even strangers among them that went to Jerusalem. The feast was a great success, and Hezekiah extended it with 7 days. This means that the feast of second Passover went into the feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, as we know it. After the feast, those who attended it went through the lands of Israel and destroyed the high places and idol temples as far north as the lands of Ephraim before they returned to their homes. In the 4th year of King Hezekiah, the king of Assyria attacked Ephraim. King Hosea was conspiring with the Egyptians against Assyria. Samaria was besieged for 3 years before it was taken. King Hosea was arrested and taken to the land of the Assyrians. It is in our understanding that the feast in Jerusalem did not stop and was still going from year to year. King Hezekiah chose to fear Yahweh instead of fearing Assyria, as the Torah commands. He never paid any tribute to Assyria like his father, King Ahaz, or the kings of Israel did. In the 14th year of his reign, Assyria attacked Judah and started to besiege the fortified cities of Judah. During this time, Judah was the only tribe left, and the king of Assyria sent his servant to Jerusalem with a message to surrender. King Hezekiah paid a hefty tribute to the king of Assyria to try to get him to back off, but it did not work. King Hezekiah was known as the king that trusted in Yahweh more than any other king since the time of King David. It is not clear if this happened during the time or just after the Assyrian attack, but Hezekiah became very ill, and he prayed to Yahweh and reminded him of all he did to get Israel to repent. So, Yahweh sent Isaiah to King Hezekiah, and the king was healed. Isaiah also told Hezekiah that 15 more years will be given to him to live. When Hezekiah received the message of the king of Assyria, he tore his clothes and went into the temple. The king of Assyria was blaspheming Yahweh and was even going as far as saying that he was sent by Yahweh to take Jerusalem. As preparations against the Assyrians, Hezekiah stopped the water that flowed to the outside of the city and also strengthened the fortifications of Jerusalem. He was not planning to surrender, but rather chose to believe that Yahweh will save them. Again, Isaiah came with a message from Yahweh, telling Hezekiah that he will save Jerusalem and will bring an end to the Assyrian siege. So, the king of Assyria heard a rumor that Ethiopia was going to attack him. And also, Yahweh sent his angel, who killed 180,000 soldiers of the king of Assyria. The Assyrians left in shame, and in the years following, King Hezekiah was well blessed and gathered many riches to himself. During these times, the king of Babylon heard about Hezekiah and how he was healed from his deathbed. Babylon sent envoys to come and visit with King Hezekiah, and he showed them how blessed he was. Yahweh withdrew from Hezekiah as to test him, and after the Babylonian envoys left, Isaiah was sent to King Hezekiah to inquire about the Babylonians. After Hezekiah told Isaiah that he showed them all of the blessings of his riches, Isaiah told him that he did wrong and that the Babylonians will come and attack Judah and take all the riches from Jerusalem. However, this was not going to happen during the time of Hezekiah, but during the time of one of his descendants. This brings us to the son of Hezekiah, King Manasseh. King Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. This means that he was born about 3 years after the Assyrians' siege on Judah ended. He reigned for 55 years, and he did not know Yahweh or even cared, for the most part. He built altars to the hosts of heavens and went all the way back to Baal worship like his grandfather King Ahaz did. He also sacrificed his children by burning them in the fire. Let's go and read about King Manasseh, the son of King Hezekiah. Manasseh reigns in Judah. 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, after the abominations of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the idol temples that Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made an Asherah, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heavens, and served them. And he built altars in the house of Yahweh, of which Yahweh said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of the heavens in the two courts of the house of Jehovah. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and mediums. He worked much wickedness in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the Asherah that he had made in the house, of which Yahweh said to David, and to Solomon his son, In this house, and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name for ever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the Torah that my servant Moses commanded them. But they listened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom Yahweh destroyed before the children of Israel. Let's again go and read what the Torah says about idolatry and idol worship. Forbidden forms of worship. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21 and 22. You shall not set up for yourself pillars of any trees near the altar of Jehovah your God, which you shall make for yourself, nor shall you set up an image which Jehovah your God hates. Chapter 17 from verse 1. You shall not sacrifice to Jehovah your God any bull or sheep in which there is a blemish, any evil thing, for that is an abomination to Jehovah your God. If there is found among you, inside any of your gates which Jehovah your God gives you, a man or a woman, who does what is evil in the sight of Jehovah your God, in breaking his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and if it is told to you, and you have heard and inquired carefully, and, behold, it is true, and the thing is certain, such an abomination is done in Israel, then you shall bring forth that man or that woman who has committed that evil thing to your gates, even that man or that woman, and he shall stone them with stones until they die. Abominable practices. Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 9. When you come into the land which Jehovah your God gives you, you shall not learn to do according to the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, an observer of clouds, or a fortune teller, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or one who calls to the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination to Jehovah. And because of these abominations, Jehovah your God drives them out from before you. You shall be perfect with Jehovah your God. For these nations whom you shall possess listened to observers of clouds and diviners. But as for you, Jehovah your God has not allowed you to do so. Manasseh did not keep these commandments, just like the bad kings of Israel, with King Ahab mentioned specifically. King Ahab was the son of Omri that married Jezebel, whose daughter was Athaliah, who became the queen in Jerusalem. They were the family that polluted all Israel with Baal worship all over again after King Solomon did. These commandments uphold the terms of the covenant that was made between Israel and Yahweh. Up until now, Yahweh kept on forgiving the sins of Israel. Most of Israel was taken by the Assyria and under Assyrian occupation. King Hezekiah stopped the wrath of Yahweh with his repentance and reformation. He managed to push the Philistines back up until Gaza. But by the time Manasseh became king, the borders of Judah were again extended beyond the few fortified cities that was left of the tribes of Judah. The feast that King Hezekiah restored would have still been going with free access for the northern tribes of Israel to go to Jerusalem. Manasseh grew up in a healthy kingdom with peace and open borders to the rest of the tribes. Many of the northern tribes worshipped Yahweh, but why would Manasseh fall to idolatry? We will find the answer in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 from verse 15. Therefore, take good heed to yourselves, for you saw no kind of likeness on the day Jehovah spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you act corruptly and make yourself a graven image, like the likeness of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish in the water beneath the earth. And lest you lift up your eyes to the heavens, and when you see the sun, and the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, lest you should be driven to worship them and serve them, which Jehovah your God has allotted to all nations under all the heavens. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of Jehovah your God, which he made with you, and make a graven image, a likeness of anything which Jehovah your God has forbidden you. For Jehovah your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When your father's sons and sons of sons, and when you shall have remained long in the land, and have dealt corruptly by making a graven image, the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Jehovah your God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land which you are crossing over Jordan to possess. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Jehovah shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where Jehovah shall drive you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. If we use scripture to define scripture, this would be the message that Yahweh would want us to understand about the idolatry of King Manasseh. He broke the covenant by his idol worship. Manasseh ruled from the age of 12 for 55 years. I don't think that he fell into Baal worship overnight. It took some time, but it became so bad that Manasseh defiled Yahweh's temple with idols again and burnt his children in the fire, meaning child sacrifice. It starts by trying to make an image of Yahweh. It ends by worshipping the host of heaven and child sacrifice. Let's go back to our story. Manasseh's idolatry denounced. 2 Kings chapter 21 from verse 10. And Yahweh spoke to his servants the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, and has done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore this says Jehovah Elohim of Israel, See, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that wherever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. because I have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger, since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed much innocent blood, until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin, by which he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. Let's again go to the Torah and see the consequence of breaking the covenant of Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 4 from verse 25. When you father sons and sons of sons, and when you shall have remained long in the land, and have dealt corruptly by making a graven image, the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Jehovah your God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land which you are crossing over Jordan to possess. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Jehovah shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where Jehovah shall drive you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, Jehovah your God, then Jehovah will make your plagues remarkable, and the plagues of your seed great, and persistent plagues, with evil and long-lasting sicknesses. Also, he will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, Jehovah will bring them on you until you are destroyed, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of the heavens for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Jehovah your God. And it shall be, as Jehovah rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so Jehovah will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. And Jehovah shall scatter you among all people, from the one end of the earth even to the other, and you shall serve other gods there, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among these nations you shall find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but Jehovah shall give you there a trembling heart, and a failing of your eyes, and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear the day and night, and shall have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, Oh, that it were evening! And at evening you shall say, Oh, that it were morning! For the fear of your heart, with which you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. And Jehovah shall bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold to your enemies for men's slaves and women's slaves, and no man shall buy you. So why would Manasseh do different than his father? The land was cleaned up. Yahweh's feasts were going on again. Torah was taught by the Levites and the priests of the Levitical order. We read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 4 that if we try to worship Yahweh by using images, we will eventually end up worshipping the host of heaven. Hezekiah fell ill during his reign, and Shebna was over the household of the king. Then Isaiah went to Hezekiah and told him to get his household in order. Then Eliakim started to rule over the household, and we read in Isaiah chapter 22 that he was a righteous man. This happened at the time that Yahweh added 15 years to Hezekiah's lifetime and told him that the fall of the house of Judah would not happen in his generation. Things did not take long for the remnant of Yahweh's people to fall backwards again, and when Manasseh took the throne, the backsliding just continued. Just to put emphasis on how bad the idolatry of Manasseh was, let's read Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 4 to 7. And I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who shall weep over you? Or who shall turn aside to ask your welfare? You have forsaken me, says Jehovah. You have gone backwards. Therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary with repenting. And I will winnow them with a fork in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of sons. I will destroy my people, since they do not turn from their ways. What exactly did Manasseh do? In 2 Kings 21 verse 7, we read that he set a graven image of Asherah that he made in the house of which Yahweh said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Let's go to scripture and read about it. First, we will look at Yahweh's message and promise to King David. 2 Samuel 7 from verse 1. And it happened when the king dwelt in his house, and when Jehovah had given him rest round about from all his enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I live in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for Jehovah is with you. And that night the word of Jehovah came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, so says Jehovah, shall you build me a house for my dwelling? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up the sons of Israel out of Egypt till this day, but have walked in a tent, even in a tabernacle. In all places in which I walked with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the tribes of Israel, those I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why do you not build me a house of cedars? And now, so shall you say to my servant David, so says Jehovah of hosts, I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies out of your sight, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great ones in the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the sons of the wickedness afflict them any more, as before. And even from the time that I commanded judges to be over my people of Israel, so will I cause you to rest from your enemies. Also, Jehovah tells you that he will make you a house. And when your days are fulfilled, and you sleep with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who shall come out of your bowels, and I will make his kingdom sure. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not leave him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. So far, Yahweh was true to his word. He had mercy on the house of David. Even after he called the destruction of Israel, Yahweh kept a descendant of David on the throne. The destruction was so bad that the Bible tells us that only the tribe of Judah was left of the 12 tribes of Israel. This means that the Assyrians occupied and controlled all tribes but Judah. This changed with King Hezekiah when Yahweh defeated the king of Assyria by killing 180,000 Assyrian troops in one night. Let's go and have a look at verse 10 again of 2 Samuel. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the sons of wickedness afflict them any more, as before. Yahweh's promises are always attached to the covenant. As long as the covenant is upheld, Yahweh will keep his promise. And if the covenant is broken, Yahweh will make a way for him to uphold the promises that he made to Israel. Now, King Manasseh created a situation whereby Yahweh had to make a way again to uphold his promise to King David. We will learn more about this in part 3 of our study when we study the book of Jeremiah. My focus for quoting these verses is on King David that wanted to build a house for Yahweh so that the ark has a permanent covering, which is not a tent. Yahweh did not want David to build his house, but told David that one of his descendants will do this. King Solomon got this opportunity, so let us go read about it. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, "You know how David my father could not build a house to the name of Jehovah, his God, because of the wars which were around him on every side, until Jehovah put them under the soles of his feet. But now Jehovah my God has given me rest all around. There is no foe nor evil happening. And behold, I purpose to build a house to the name of Jehovah my God, as Jehovah spoke to David my father, saying, Your son, whom I will set on the throne in your place, he shall build a house to my name." 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And it happened, in the 480th year after the sons of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the 2nd month, he began to build the house of Jehovah. Verse 7. And when it was being built, the house was built of stone made ready beforehand, and there was not heard in the house a hammer or an axe, or any iron tool, while it was built. Verse 11 to 14. And the word of Jehovah came to Solomon, saying, "As to this house which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, and do my judgment, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my work with you, which I spoke to David your father. And I will live among the sons of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel." And Solomon built the house and finished it. Verse 19. And he prepared the holy of holies in the house inside, to set there the ark of the covenant of Jehovah. Verses 37 and 38. In the 4th year, in the month Ziph, the foundation of the house of Jehovah was laid. And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished as to all its parts, and as to all its plans. So he was 7 years in building it. The ark brought into the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, from verse 1. And Solomon gathered the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the sons of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, so that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of Jehovah out of the city of David, which is in Zion. And all the men of Israel were gathered to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is in the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came in, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of Jehovah, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels which were in the tabernacle, even those the priests and the Levites brought up. Verse 9. There was nothing in the ark except the 2 tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when Jehovah made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it happened, when the priests had come out of the Holy of Holies, the cloud filled the house of Jehovah. And the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of Jehovah has filled the house of Jehovah. Solomon blesses the Lord, reading from verse 15. And he said, "Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to David my father, and has fulfilled it by his hand, saying, From the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I did not choose any city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, so that my name might be in it. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel. And Jehovah said to my father David, Because it was in your heart to build a house to my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Only, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall come out of your loins, he shall build the house to my name. And Jehovah has performed his word which he spoke, and I have raised up instead of my father David, and I sit on the throne of Israel, as Jehovah promised, and I have built a house for the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel, and I have set there a place for the ark, in which the covenant of Jehovah which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Solomon's Prayer of Dedication. And Solomon stood before the altar of Jehovah in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands towards the heavens. And he said, Jehovah, the God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keeps covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David my father what you promised him. You also spoke with your mouth, and have fulfilled with your hand, as it is today. And now, Jehovah, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David my father what you promised him, saying, There shall not be cut off from you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. If your sons take heed to their way, so that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, I pray to you, let your word be proved to be true, the word which you spoke to your servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heavens and the heavens of the heavens cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built? Yet, O Jehovah my God, you have turned towards the prayer of your servant and to his request, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today. For your eyes to be opened towards this house night and day, towards the place of which you have said, My name shall be there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray towards this place. And you shall listen to the cry of your servant, and of your people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, and hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Verse 46. If they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and if you are angry with them, and have delivered them up before the enemy, and they have been led away captive to the land of the enemy, far and near, yet if they shall think within themselves in the land where they are carried captive, and repent, and pray to you in the land of their captors, saying, We have sinned and have done perversely, we have done wickedly, and so return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and if they pray to you towards their land which you gave to their fathers, to the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear their prayer and their cry in heaven your dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, even all their sins which they have done against you, and give them pity before their captors, so that they may have pity on them. For they are your people, and your inheritance, which you brought out of Egypt from the middle of the furnace of iron. For your eyes shall be opened to prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your people Israel, to listen to them in all that they call for you. For you have separated them from among all the people of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by the hand of Moses your servant, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord Jehovah. The Lord appears to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 9 from verse 2. Jehovah appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And Jehovah said to him, I have heard your prayer and your cry which you have made before me. I have made this house which you have built holy, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if you will walk before me as David your father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom on Israel forever, as I promised to David your father, saying, There shall not be cut off to you a man on the throne of Israel. If you shall at all turn from following me, you or your sons, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the face of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have made holy for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. As to this house which is exalted, every one who passes by it shall be amazed and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why has Jehovah done this to this land and to this house? And they shall answer, Because they left Jehovah their God, who brought out their fathers from the land of Egypt, and have taken hold on other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. On account of this Jehovah has brought on them all this evil. Yahweh's chosen place of worship was not limited to the temple, but He chose Jerusalem as the city where He put His name. We just read most of the verses of the temple dedication that was done when the dwelling of the Ark of Testimony was moved from the tabernacle to the temple. Jerusalem is the city most mentioned in Scripture. For this purpose of the study, I want to focus on the promise made to King David and later King Solomon. If you walk and do to all that I have commanded you, and if you will keep my statutes and my judgment, then there will not be cut off from you a man on the throne of Israel. If you shall at all turn from following me, you or your sons, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the face of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have made holy for my name I will cast out of my sight. I am quoting Jeremiah again. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 4, 6 and 7. And I will make them a horror to all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. You have forsaken me, says Jehovah. You have gone backward. Therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary with repenting. And I will winnow them with a fork in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of sons. I will destroy my people, since they do not turn from their ways. When King Manasseh again defiled Jerusalem and the temple, Yahweh made the final decree that the prophecies about the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem will come to its fullness. We will read all about this in part 2 of our Jeremiah study. Yahweh, being long-suffering and patient, was not finished with Manasseh yet. Let's read the rest of his story. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh's repentance. Yahweh spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not listen. Therefore, Yahweh brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with bronze shackles and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he sought Yahweh his Elohim, and humbled himself greatly before Elohim of his fathers, and made prayer to him, and he was entreated by him, and listened to his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that Yahweh he was Elohim. Now after this, he built a wall outside the city of David, on the west side of Gion, in the valley even to the entrance of the fish gate, and it went around Ophel, and he raised it up to a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fortified cities of Judah. And he took away the strange Elohim, and the idol out of the house of Jehovah, and all the altars that he built on the mount of the house of Jehovah, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of Jehovah, and sacrificed on it peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifices still in the idol temples, yet to Yahweh the Elohim only. His prayer also, and how Elohim was moved by him, and all his sin, and his trespass, and the place in which he built idol temples, and set up Ashtarim, and graven images, before he was humbled, see, they are all written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his place. Yahweh will never give up on anyone. Even King Manasseh was no exception. Manasseh repented of his sins, and he was forgiven. He undone some of the things he had messed up in Jerusalem, but repentance and forgiveness does not mean that the punishment will not happen or go away. Let's go and see what Ezekiel had to say about righteousness and forgiveness. Ezekiel 18 from verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son. They are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. But the man that is just and does what is just and right, and has not eaten on the mountains, nor has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor has defiled his neighbor's wife, nor has come near a ministrating woman, and has not ill-treated any man, but has given the debtor's pledge back to him, has robbed none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He has not given out on usury, nor has taken an increase. He has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has done judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes, and has kept my judgments to deal truly. He is righteous, he shall surely live, says the Lord Jehovah. And if he fathers a son who is violent, who shed blood, and who does to a brother any of these, even if he does do not any of these himself, but his son has, but has even eaten on the mountains, and has defiled his neighbor's wife, has ill-treated the poor and the needy, thieving, he stole, has not given back the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination. He is loaned on usury, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations, he surely shall die, his blood shall be on him. And lo, if he fathers a son who sees all his father's sins which he has done, and fears, and does not do like him, who has not eaten on the mountains, nor has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, nor has ill-treated any man, has not withheld a pledge, nor has robbed by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with clothes, has withdrawn his hand from the poor, has not received usury nor increase, has done my judgment, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. His father, because he extorted, robbed his brother by robbery, and did what is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet you say, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son has done justice and right, has kept all my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of his father, nor shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be on him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be on him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins which he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do justice and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he has done, they shall not be mentioned to him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Do I actually delight in the death of the wicked? Says the Lord Jehovah. Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when the righteous turn from his righteousness and does injustice, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked do, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be remembered. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of Jehovah is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my ways fair? Are your ways not unfair? When a righteous one turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he has done, he shall die. Again, when the wicked turns away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and righteous, he shall save his soul alive. because he looks carefully and turns away from all his sin that he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet, says the house of Israel, the ways of Jehovah is not fair. O house of Israel, are not my ways fair? Are not your ways unfair? So I will judge you, O house of Israel, each one of you according to his ways, says the Lord Jehovah. Turn and be made to turn from all your sins, and iniquity shall be your stumbling block. Cast away from you all your sins by which you have sinned, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no delight in the death of him who dies, says the Lord Jehovah. Therefore, turn and live. The principle of righteousness and forgiveness goes through the whole scripture, and this is what Paul teaches us in the New Testament. It is not new. This is Yahweh's character. There were always a repentant and believing remnant within the lands of Israel, but there always were those who did not repent to turn you to Yahweh. We will learn more about this during the times of the last kings of Judah. King Amon of Judah, 2 Kings chapter 21 from verse 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Harus of Jothbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the ways that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook Yahweh Elohim of his father, and did not have his walk in the ways of Yahweh. And the servants of Amon conspired against him, and killed the king in his own house. And the people of the land killed all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his place. And he was buried in the tomb of the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his place. Next week I will do a quick recap of the prophets that we discussed during our king study, and we will end part 1 of our study, and part 2 will start with King Josiah and his sons. Join us next week as we continue in our study into the chronology of the kings of Israel. Thank you and God bless. Shalom.
Join us every Tuesday online to discuss the Jeremiah study and learn more about Israel's true national identity. Email Kimberly at tabernacleofdavidrestored.com for full details.